You are listening to the Sunnybrook Unscripted podcast, where we talk real life, answer questions, and take a deeper practical look at the topics we talk about on a Sunday morning. To learn more about Sunnybrook Church, including our Sunday gathering times and opportunities throughout the week, visit us online at sunnybrookchurch.org. Today, we are talking with Pastor Jeff Mose.
Well, welcome or welcome back to Sunnybrook Unscripted podcast. I'm taking Lydia Miller's spot. I'm Pastor Jeff, and I'm here with my good friend, Andrew Mubarak. And we talked first time together, just gave you a little bit of an introduction as to who he is. And I want to just go a little bit deeper on some of these things, Andre, and talk about it. I know when we throw around terms, because you and I have been there and I've heard these terms so much, they make sense to me. But to the average person, they probably don't. So, you know what? Points and times you introduce yourself always as a Palestinian Christian. Sometimes we'll refer to Arabs, and we always think, oh, that's an offensive word. But Arab just simply means they speak the Arabic language. And Palestinian just, again, refers to this idea where you live in the greater geographical region. But people don't recognize the makeup of Israel. You know, it's about 70% or so Jewish people and about 20% Palestinians. And they don't understand that the majority of Palestinians are Muslim. The minority really are Christians. And you are almost this minority and a minority and a minority. So explain to us a little bit. What's a Palestinian? What's a Christian? What is the makeup of Israel? And how do you kind of navigate through being such a small population in this country?
Yes, when people in the West think about Israel, they think that Israel is only Jewish. And when they think about Palestine, they think it's only Muslim. But I'm a Palestinian Christian. There are Palestinian Christians that live in Israel and also Palestinian Christians that live in Palestine. We are kind of lost often in the pages of history. And if you're a Palestinian Christian, you are in between the peacemaker between the Muslims and the Jews. So not all Israel is Jewish and not all Palestine are Muslims. They are a mix between the two.
And it's caused some conflict though, correct?
I mean,
between Jews, between Muslims, between Palestinian Christians, there's just a little bit of conflict always going on.
Huh? Yeah, there's a conflict all the time going on. And this is why I'm a Palestinian Christian with an Israeli passport, because I am from Jerusalem. And when you're in Jerusalem, you're in between both. And most, like, Jews are very, 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 like, prideful, the non-believers. They are very, like, strong nationalism. And most Muslims also the same thing. They just always fighting. There is always like there is struggle between Israel and Palestine, between Muslims and Jews. And we, the Christians, who are the minority, we are happy all the time. So both have victim mentality. Both of them, if you speak to any secular Jew, they will tell you about how all the world hates them. They will tell you about the Holocaust, which is terrible history. And we don't deny it. It happened. But they have this complaining all the time. And if you speak with every Muslim in Israel or Palestine, they'll speak about the wars, injustice, how they lost their homes. And they lost their homes. They lost their families. Many people died. But here we are in between as a Christians that we always are happy. And sometimes they make fun of us. They tell us, you're the hallelujahs. But anytime they want a prayer, they come to us. We are like a bridge between the Muslims and the Jews. We should have the victim mentality, but we are happy all the time because we have Jesus. That's the only like hope for us.
Yeah, your brother actually wrote a book, and I just got done reading that Tony Mubarak, his brother, wrote a book that really signifies the fact that Palestinian Christians are sort of the bridge in Israel between the Jews and the Muslims. And your work of reconciliation, what's going on, that can't be easy, but yet incredibly important, isn't it?
Yes. The book is about, the name of the book is Crossing the Hidden Bridge. I can make a metaphor like Palestinian Christians, we are like a jewel in the hand of God. But this jewel has been unpolished, has been lost. But now the Holy Spirit is polishing this jewel that our voices, which is happening today, is reaching the world with hope. You know, we lost hope in politics. We just have hope in Jesus. And I want to tell you, all the news is negative. whatever you see here. But there is good news happening. There are Muslims coming to Christ. There are Jews coming to Christ. And the peace, I know not a big numbers, but the God is using the indigenous believers. They're not important to bring the real peace in the heart.
Yeah. And very small percentage, right? I mean, that was one of the things that was hard for me when I first went to Israel. So you walk this land where Jesus walked, where he was born, where he lived his life, where he did his ministry, where eventually he died for the sin of mankind. But so you would think everybody who walks that land, feels what we do, would come to Christ as their Savior. But what are Christians in Israel? Less than 1%?
Yeah, let me give you some facts. In Israel today, we are around 9.8 million. Let's say it's 10 million. Only 1% are Christians. And when I say Christians, they are nominal Christians. And among the nominal Christians, there is under 1% that they are followers of Christ. And even if I want to go more details, 1% of that 1% are believers that have Maronite Aramaic background. So a minority within a minority within a minority. But you know, God always uses the minority.
Amen. He has. And Israel in itself, people don't realize, a very small country.
I mean, it's
about the size of the state of New Jersey. You can be across it in 2 hours. You can be up and down the north and south in about 4 or 5. So it's a very small country to begin with. I know one of your heart's passions, and you're gifted at it, Andre, is you're a teacher. And you know, you have knowledge of Aramaic, Greek, Hebrew, and you often bring that out in your teaching. So I think that's what makes it so rich. But give us some insight and understanding. Knowing culture, knowing the languages, how does that help in our knowledge of Scripture and deepening our faith from your perspective?
I can answer you with easy one question, one answer. As the writers of the Bible were from the Middle East, from that part of the world. And it's from their culture, custom, context. And very important, if I want to communicate with someone, I communicate in his language. And Jesus' language was Hebrew and Aramaic. So when groups come to Israel and learn about Jesus through Middle Eastern eyes and connect through the scripture from its original context, it will become much more clear to them.
Very much so. And that's probably the biggest thing that you add in our tours, is just giving us a depth of knowledge in those kinds of things. I'm just curious, because you've been doing this well over 20 years now, of taking people through Israel. Well, what's your favorite site? What's the site? For me, it's just always been the Garden of Gethsemane. Whenever I get into the Garden of Gethsemane and see these big olive trees and that rock where maybe Jesus prayed, those kinds of things, for me, that's just a powerful moment. Do you have a favorite site?
Yes, I have a favorite site, which is in Galilee, because it's never boring. Even I've been doing this for so many years, every time is different, which is called Kfar Nahum. You name it Capernaum, but we say Kfar Nahum, which is the house of comfort.
Yeah, there's some neat things that take place. More miracles take place in Capernaum than anywhere else, right?
Correct. 21 miracles almost took place in Capernaum.
Yeah, powerful place, yeah. You know, it's been so fun to talk about this, but let's just move to a little bit more serious subject, because I think people listening today are going, boy, here's Andre. He's a Palestinian Christian. He's here in the United States, and the reason he's here is because there's a war going on. And I think sometimes people think, well, all of Israel's at war. But in all honesty, I think most of us could walk very safely through Israel today. It's actually taking place in a very small part in Gaza, which is to the south. When we take tours, we never go anywhere near Gaza. They are sort of this forgotten people, which is really kind of sad. But give people some insight, understanding. What's it like? You just came not so long ago from Israel. So what's going on? Where is Gaza? Just give us some insight and understanding.
This is what the media make it here. When you look at the news, you see like it's crisis and it's war zone. Yes, but in specific locations. In the south, in Gaza, and nearby the borders of Lebanon, in the Golan Heights. But actually in Jerusalem, it's like people are used to wars in that part of the world. Sadly speaking, it's not normal. But if you live in Jerusalem, because most people who are in the Golan move to Jerusalem and most people in the south move to Jerusalem, so it's much more safe. Most thing can happen. You can hear all the jets coming up and rockets coming up, but The Iron Dome do a great job. 95% will be down. So it's kind of, for people not used to it, is scary. But the locals there, we are used to war, sadly.
Yeah, and that's an understatement. When I first came years ago, Audrey, that was in the day when Scud missiles were. They weren't very effective, but I would hear the sirens go off, and it would freak me out. But it was funny to see, and we were in Tel Aviv at the time, but people walk like it's no big deal. You're just used to it. In fact, you're like, that's no big deal at all. But you've kind of lived constantly in a war area, haven't you?
People lived that are from Israel, they are... Like, I'm young, through my generation, we saw, like, a lot of wars. Minimum 5 wars. And that's part of the world that have, you know, problems. But when people think about wars, they think it's the end of times and it's going to happen soon, Armageddon. No. That part of the world is like, built like this way.
Yeah. And just give us a little bit of insight and understanding as to how we can pray for you, Andre. So obviously we want to cease fire as quickly as possible. Nobody wants bloodshed on either side. I'm sure not Israelis. I'm sure not Palestinians. But give me some insight and understanding. In Psalm 122, and you often end our tours this way and say, hey, listen, when you go home, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, according to David Saul in Psalm 122 as he makes his way to Jerusalem. So give me some insight and understanding. What can we pray for? What does it mean to pray for the peace of Jerusalem?
I will answer you in what does it mean, Jerusalem in Aramaic, which is Or Shlem. Or is light. Shlem means complete or whole, which means content with the peace of God, not the political peace, but the peace between a person and his creator. So the church in the West can pray for more people to know their Messiah. Amen. For the Jewish government to repent. What they are doing is not biblical. Whenever the Jewish people were far away from God, the wars will take place. And also for the Palestinians to repent and come to Christ. The only solution for this is the peace, Jerusalem. And whenever you come to Jerusalem, you feel part of it. So when you pray, it's all spiritual warfare. This war is all spiritual. So if we pray to the core of the pure evil, what is happening now for redemption and for people to repent, number one is repentance.
Amen. And thanks for that, Andre. It's very helpful for all of us to know how to pray. And you're right. I don't know what it is, even for an American going over there. There was something about it that felt like going home, even though I had never been there in my life. But it is sort of this connection, spiritually speaking, with a God who loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. So there's something fascinating about that and drawing about that. Again, I just remind you, if you want to go deeper on Andre's teaching, he's got a website, twinstours.com, and you can get all of his teaching there. But thanks for joining us together today, Andre, and thank you for joining us as well.
If you were encouraged by today's talk, be sure to rate us and hit subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcast. To experience other talks, videos, and live gatherings, visit us online at sunnybrookchurch.org or download the Sunnybrook Church app. And again, thanks for listening to the Sunnybrook Community Church podcast.